If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family's otherwise calm and collected pet dog suddenly growls in fear at an unseen entity in the room. What was he looking at? And what did he want? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now. 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or of course, if you like the show, we strongly encourage supporting it. That's how we keep this thing on the air. It's been a listener-supported show for damn near 8 years now, and we can't thank you enough for that. You do that by becoming an extra podcast person, an EPP is what we call it, kind of like EVP, but EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. To become an EPP, $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the show, commercial free. You get our ebook, our audiobook, and so many extras. That's what keeps us on the air. We greatly appreciate that. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories is where you can sign up to support the show and become an EPP. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
I should just say this. Be thankful that I didn't press record 10 minutes prior to the show beginning, because there was a pre-show for just me and Jenny here in the studio that was very entertaining.
We had one of those news days where the whiskey came out at noon and we had office karaoke.
We did. And with the new mixing board that we have in the new studio, we have all these wonderful effects on it that can make us sound like Cher.
Well, we like themed karaoke. So today was Battle of the Chers. Who could do a better Cher?
So I did Believe, and I made it to that phalanging effect of, you know, do you believe in love?
And I did If I Could Turn Back Time, and I think I won.
I think it was pretty good. It really was. Let me see if I can get this to work. I'm not sure if I can get it up. And here we go. I was kind of like this. Do you believe in love after love? And you can't hear that around you.
I couldn't hear that before.
Did you hear that now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you did.
I did. So I don't know what you did different, but now I can hear it.
But
mine was just pure vocals.
And it was amazing.
Just vocal talent.
Just vocal talent.
Just
alone.
Vocal talent and whiskey.
On a Monday at noon.
On a Monday at noon. In a pandemic.
Here at Aspie Acres.
Otherwise known as normal.
Yeah. That's how we roll here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So welcome to the program. This is hitting you mid-January. So God only knows what the world is like at that point.
But this will be a fun show because we're half lit. So we're going to have fun today.
Continuing on. Let's jump into our first story of the day. And I won't do it in Cher's voice. Wouldn't that be great if I did the whole thing with a beat to Believe? And
you would get so many emails, people saying, oh my God, I think there's something in your office because you're sounding like a demon. You're sounding like Cher, but a demon.
I have a demon one.
Is this it? Let me see if this is it. Hang on. Check, check, check. This is a demon one. And if I press a certain button, check, check, check. Here we go. Only demon. Can you hear only demon?
Yeah. And you know what? You're going to make people sick to their stomach, so turn it off.
We have had a few occurrences happen in a couple of different houses that we've lived in. This is only just one thing that happens here and there. And then nothing happens for a while. Should I not do that?
No.
Okay, well,
turn that off. Hang on. How do I get it back?
Do you have your normal voice yet? We had to get a new board, so he's got toys he doesn't know how to play with. And,
check, check, check. I'm not on.
Aww.
Okay, there we go. I found it. Well, it's set up differently than a studio, like a radio studio board. All of these are like in reverse. There's these three buttons here, and you would have these in a studio, but they're big and they're up here. Uh-huh. And they're in the reverse order of what you would have them in.
There's three people that understand what you're talking about.
Radio people know what I'm talking about.
I'm not one of
Program
them.
Audition and mono or Q. And they're in reverse and they're not where you expect them. And they're not even labeled the same thing. So,
okay.
But they essentially function the same
Nobody
way.
Nobody cares.
Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And let's jump into our first story here. We've had a few occurrences happen in a couple of different houses that we lived in. This is always just one thing that happens here and there, and then nothing happens for a while. The first house my husband and I lived in was incredibly old and just a small farmhouse that laid in a cornfield. One occurrence happened to my husband and one to me. One night I went to bed and my husband stayed up for a while. He said around 10 p.m. he was sitting in his computer in the living room and started hearing a ball bouncing in the kitchen and laughing. Then, not too long after that, we had built-in dressers into the wall of our bedroom, and I had a laundry basket up beside them. I took the laundry basket out, and underneath it was a thick red liquid seeping out from underneath the built-in dressers. We moved soon after. Then at our new house, we had a ceiling fan that would just come on by itself. When we first moved in, it was remotely controlled, so we just thought it might have been some interference with something. Yes?
We have that happening now, and it freaks me the fuck out.
And then You're right, we do.
We have flame bulbs, which are the bulbs, the light bulbs that you put in that look like they're...
Flames, like lanterns.
Lanterns.
Yeah.
And we have flame bulbs, and so the flame bulbs come on, too, in the middle of the night.
I put the remote by my bed. It's on my nightstand so I can turn them off.
I'm pretty sure that whoever put all the fans in didn't know what they were doing, but it does still freak me out.
It does, but there are other fans in the house that do not work properly. And I think whoever put them in didn't do something right.
I just had to share that we're going through that as well.
But I do think it is something that is more RF interference than it is something paranormal.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
I'm not just saying that to make you feel better. I really think that is what it is.
Okay. Well, you and my dad were trying to dig a rock out of the yard this weekend that you thought was maybe possibly a headstone. So who knows? I will say that.
Does that lead to your confidence in my feeling of what might be going on in our house?
I don't know.
That we were trying to dig a possible gravestone out of our front yard?
I didn't have any part of it. And I was like, you guys are just asking for issues. So.
It wasn't a headstone.
No, it was a rock.
It was a oddly shaped rock.
It was a rectangular rock, but it had no initials, nothing. It was just a rock.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything to it?
No. I think it's a rock.
Okay.
I think it's a good old Arkansas rock.
I'm fine with that. Your dad was pretty well set on it being something, though.
My dad is the ultimate treasure hunter. And
yeah.
If you listen to the episode where we talk about the things we have found,
yeah,
you'll understand why. But that was a rock.
I get where it came that way. But then once we dug it out, there's a lot of parts that aren't so square on it.
Yeah. Well, we did find something, though, that he wanted to be like, yeah, that's an artifact. We need to bring that in the house. I'm like, no.
What?
That half. It's a rock that's got a dugout part where, like, you would grind.
It looks things. like almost like a medicine type bowl where you, like a mortar and pestle.
Yeah. And I have seen those before, and that is what that is. That's half of one. And I want to leave it where it is because it's not causing me any trouble where it is. But if we bring it in the house and my fan keeps going crazy, I'm going to be pissed.
It might have been used by a healer.
Could be.
A pestle. That's where you would grind herbs and seeds and stuff. And yeah. That's something I don't want to bring in the house. I agree with you 100%. That's what that is.
That's what that, and that's where that's going to stay, is under that tree.
Yeah. And then the family that's down the tree line.
We're not talking about them. That's not our problem. That's not our property. They haunt the other house.
They haunt the other house. Wouldn't it be interesting if we heard a ghost story someday from down there? What if we got a...
We won't.
That would be great. 855, let's continue on with this story. We haven't stopped this minute.
Sorry.
Anyway, some interference or something, but it hasn't done it for years. Now, not so sure what is going on. The next thing that happened in that house was also quite weird. We had a dog that died. We then adopted another dog and had the dog that died cremated, and his remains were on my desk at the bottom of the bathroom in our bedroom. One night, our new dog was lying in her cage facing the bathroom and started flipping out, growling, barking, pawing to get out of her cage. It was all right by the other dog's remains. It sort of brought us comfort thinking our deceased dog came back to visit us. All thoughts on our current dog was that it didn't enjoy it. Then one night in our house we had now, my husband and I were watching a show, and when it was over, we both stood up to go to the kitchen, and we heard someone say boo. I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we both thought the other did it to mess with the other. But neither one of us did. And the next night it happened again to just me. Right after that, my husband's phone that was on the charger just started playing loud music by itself. No one had touched it. As I said, we'll go months or years without anything happening, and then every once in a while, something pops up that is really weird and hard for me to explain. Enjoying your show, you guys make me smile every day with your back and forth banter. We're looking forward to hearing more.
I think it's the same ghost. They just know when, how far to push the envelope, you know, just push it just enough and then just back off for a while and then come back and then back off for a little while.
And just kind of let them have their serving at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a buffet. Got to pace yourself. Don't go for the breads. Don't go for the rolls.
You talk about buffets on this show entirely too much.
Don't stuff yourself.
Buffets are gross.
Go for the good stuff.
No.
It's actually a reference to, there's an episode of Frasier where they're on a cruise. And Martin is giving advice on the buffets.
Yeah.
He's like, don't stuff yourself on the breads and the rolls. Go wait till you get towards the end. That's where the lobster, the ham, the crab, the good stuff is. They try and fill you up beforehand.
Is that how you learned how to navigate a buffet?
No, I was late. I didn't watch that episode till I was an adult. That episode didn't come out till we were in our 20s.
So it was too late. You'd already taken cruises and had buffets.
I had failed on so many buffets before that episode.
Yeah.
Failed miserably.
Okay.
Then I learned, here's how you navigate a buffet. Thanks to Martin Crane.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
His real life?
The actor, yeah.
I don't know. He's deceased now.
Yeah, he was a great actor. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm going to look that up right now because so many people are screaming it at their device right now.
I really liked him as an actor. Did you ever see the movie where he was with Bruce Willis and just Sarah Jessica Parker? It was a cop drama, and he died, and then Bruce Willis was trying to find his killer.
Well, Martin Crane is an English professional football player.
Well,
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay.
John Mahoney.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a great actor.
He was great.
And he was an actor way before our time, in many, many movies, you know, black and whites and all that. But he had quite a career. Like Frasier was towards the end of it, but
I think I remember the first time I saw him was in, that 80s movie. Oh God, what, I can't think of it. John Cusack holds the boombox above his head. Say Anything, I think is it.
Okay.
Yeah, he played the girl's dad.
John Mahoney was 77 when he died in 2018. Born in 1940. His earliest work was...
Uh,
What was it? Did he start later? 77. Stage production in 77. I thought he did stuff earlier than that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he wasn't Say Anything.
So he really kind of, later in life is when he really kind of took off.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did stuff earlier than that. Anyway. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. There's an example of a random banter that you love so much. Hope you enjoyed it. let's continue on. Hello, I've been a listener to your podcast for about a year now. I enjoy listening to all when I drive to and from work. Well, my story is about an apartment I lived in when I was around 10 years old in the Philippines. I can't remember how weird happening started, but there was a lot. This apartment was a two-story apartment. All the bedrooms were upstairs. Downstairs, the floors were finished concrete, since living on an island in our parts of the world was mostly hot all year. Anyway, I think the first weird thing that started was at times that when we were upstairs ready to go to sleep, my brother and I would hear the furniture moving around on the concrete floor. We'd be up and out of bed and stand on top of the stairs and listen to the sounds that we heard in the dark downstairs. There was a light switch at the top of the stairs, so what my brother and I would do is wait for the noise of the furniture moving around downstairs and turn on the light and run down the stairs to try and catch the furniture moving, which we never did. It was almost like a game to us every other night to try and catch the furniture moving. During this time, our mom would tell us to leave their spirits alone. She had so many experiences with the paranormal from her island that this did not bother us. She told us many stories about paranormal things. That's why this never really scared us. We thought this was part of life. This was not the only thing that happened at night downstairs. Sometimes we'd hear the dishes and drying rack clanging around every so often at night. We, my brother and I, would play the same game, trying to catch them moving. Another incident was when all of us were downstairs watching TV. My brother, which, by the way, was 2 years younger than me, started pointing at the top of the stairs. The light was off upstairs, but we could see the shins and the feet of what looked like a child sitting at the very top stair. When we got up to look, they were gone. Most of these experiences were with my younger brother and me, but I had one that, as far as I know, I experienced by myself. So my brother and my mom slept together at the same room. Usually in the middle of the night, I would wake up for no reason. This night I woke to see a shadow on our bedroom wall. We lived in an apartment and there was an apartment next to ours. And most nights they would leave the lights on and have clothes on hangers hanging in the windows that, of course, will cast a shadow on our wall. So that is what I thought it was, a shirt hanging from the apartment over. But the more I stared at the shadow, I noticed it looked like the outline of our traditional formal garb that we inherited from Spain. Not only that, but it was also actually an outline of a person. After a few seconds, the shadow started to move like it was walking towards me. From recollection, I do not think I was scared. I just drew my blanket over my head and went back to sleep. I did not tell my mom or my brother about this till years later. More things happened at that apartment, like my cousin's ankle being grabbed by a cold hand and him being locked out of our balcony. At least to the immediate family, we never felt anything malevolent. I do not have more stories from the Philippines, and some will be from the States. I'll share them again sometime soon. Thank you for your podcast. I think it said I do have more stories. I think I added the word not in there. Yeah, I did by mistake. But
I think it's interesting that there's a lot of stories from the Philippines and that the Filipino culture seems to really embrace the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, is there a higher instance of having experiences when a culture embraces the paranormal versus when they deny it?
I don't know if there's a higher instance per se, but I think there's more of a readiness to share.
That would make sense.
Where I think all cultures have this equal amount of experiences, but some are more ready to attribute those experiences to the paranormal versus others.
That makes sense.
So that's where I would go with that.
Okay.
But thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that's why it feels like we get more experiences from that neck of the woods, because we hear people going, I'm from the Philippines, here's my experience. They're just, it's part of life.
They're more open to sharing, just like Mexico is more open to sharing.
Yeah, it's part of the culture. It's part of life. It's like our world here on the show, where we operate from a perspective of, this is real. We accept your story. We're not here to debunk your story or try and prove you wrong. If there's something out there that we can say, look at this just to be sure. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. But we are taking you at 100% at your word that what you're telling us is what you experienced.
Yeah.
If we can help explain what happened, all the better. But if what we, our explanation sometimes still lies in the paranormal, our explanations do not always lie in its, you know, weird power lines or something like that. Sometimes it's, well, here's a paranormal explanation for you. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, what's yours?
Hi, it's the Pets. I got a story to tell you. I know how your wife likes the stories on animals and stuff. Well, I was going to tell you about my bird. His name's George. I saw an ad for him, and I thought he was a lovebird by the looks of it. But when I met up and got to see him, he was a Mitre Conure parrot. Instant love. He looked at me, and he goes, hi. Well, he was my best bud. He was a boy to everybody else but me. Nobody else could pet him or anything. He'd bite. But he would sit on my shoulder and coo and everything with me. And we'd go on walks and sit out in the sunlight, and he would eat my popsicles. He had a personality bigger than anything. He didn't realize he was a bird. He would chase our cats. Yes, our cats. They were scared of him. And he was only a small bird. Well, he would even know when I was upset about something, even before my husband did. And then when he wanted something, he'd yell, Mom! Or if he was in trouble, he'd look at me and try to go, Mommy! To try to get out of it. Yes, most of the time he did. But and note this, I didn't teach him. He would cuss like a sailor. And when he'd get mad, he would mutter underneath his breath and yell. But like I said, he would go everywhere with me. And we would go through different situations with it. He was my ghost detector. Because you know from my stories, I see ghosts. Well, he let me know our neighbor across the street had passed away. And long story about that one. I even told you about it. But I'm, as you know, I got put in a nursing care facility for right now. So my niece started taking care of him for me. And he had this naughty trick of laying on the bottom of the cage and playing dead. And I forgot to warn her about that. And she come and she called me, she says, you know what? Your bird is a little bleep. And I said, what did he do? He laid at the bottom of his cage like he was dead. And I said, uh-huh. And he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He jumped up and he laughed at me. He sounds exactly like the bully from Bart Simpson's with his laugh. Well, she started to get thinking it was funny and everything, but she'd go take care of him. But they played that. He played the dead part, and she yelled, and did she feed him? Well, not too long ago, I heard a cart going down the hallway, and it sounded just like him going, uck, 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 and the noise he makes when he's mad. And then I heard the word, Mommy. And I'm like, oh, it made me feel so sad because I hadn't seen him for a while. But my niece gave me a phone call and she sounded upset. And I go, what's wrong, hon? She goes, I went to go feed George. And he was on the bottom of his cage. And I yelled at him, just like it's because he was playing dead. And I yelled at him again. Guinea, which is my nickname, she goes. he wasn't playing. He had gone on. And I had realized that people might have considered it coincidence when I heard that squawking and that voice telling me, "Mom," and I have black and white migraines. I saw a bird flying. That was his way of telling me goodbye. Well, I thought you'd like to hear that. And then, yes, pets do know things. And they can let you know that they love you. Thanks for listening.
I think that he was giving her a death visit. And, you know, we don't talk about animals with death visits a lot. We talk about people with death visits. Mm-hmm. But I think he knew he needed to tell her goodbye. Because he was obviously a very intelligent bird.
That is so... Birds are very fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Because they're like little flying dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. They have such intelligence to them. And the fact that the damn thing could sit there and be like frustrated and swearing.
Mm-hmm.
In a language. Not bird, not just like chirping, but like, motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a fucking smart animal. Mm-hmm. Like, there is so much going on in those little brains. And I go back to the crows and what they can do.
Yeah.
And they're scary to me. I mean, they're just so damn intelligent. Mm-hmm. And they have funerals for their dead. And they can use tools. And it's... Birds are like... those fuckers evolve a little bit.
I know. We're all in trouble.
We're all fucked. If those guys figure out, like, how do we get the people?
Mm-hmm.
We can fly. They can't.
Right.
It's scary. But thank you... As she's like, she likes to be known. This is not my name for her. This is her name for herself. The Pest, as she calls her.
But she's anything but. We love her story.
She's been such a great listener throughout the years and family member of our show. Thank you for your story. And I'm so happy that we still hear from you all these years since your initial calls to our show.
And I'm so sorry you lost George. I know how that must have been just terrible.
Yeah. It's never easy losing a pet, especially one like that, that has, you know, so much meaning and is so intelligent and you have that relationship with. But we love hearing from you. So don't ever view yourself as a pest. If you want to call yourself, that is a fun nickname. That's fine. But we love hearing from you. And I'm glad we can keep you company as we go through all this stuff. So thank you for your call and sharing that story as always. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Brewski. Hey, Carol. My name is Veronica. I currently live in Mississippi. And I'm kind of playing catch up on the podcast. There's this one where it's like the Glenn episode where it's like all of the Glenn calls that he's made to you, and I've seen the videos on Facebook and everything, and while he talks about how he sages rooms and the ghost will kind of calm down or whatever, well, what I've learned, because my grandma, you know, like my whole family used to say that my grandma used to see ghosts stuff. And my mother once told me that she would say, you know, to leave them alone. And every time you talk about them, I'm like, yes, yeah, just tell them to leave you alone. You know, I've done it. And they have, but that's a whole nother call, I guess. She would also say, my grandmother would also say that some of these spirits just need somebody to pray for them. And, I feel like maybe Glenn or like the whole apartment building should have like a collective of like a prayer sesh. Also, I've also learned that when using sage, I come from a family of Catholics and stuff. So we usually, when we smudge or when we do any kind of limpia, which is like a cleanse, it's a spiritual cleanser or what have you, we'll usually say prayers, what's the Lord's Prayer and like Hail Mary and that stuff. So as far as staging goes, I learned to start from the farthest part of the home and even get you know, the smoke into the corners. And while you're staging, you're praying, and at the same time, we're like in order, I guess, if you will. I also, when I stage, I also throw in a few words, something like, this is my home. You cannot reside here anymore, so you need to leave. And if you're going to stage, do it at the farthest corner of the room and then move towards the doors. And then once you tell them that they can't be there anymore, you close the doors and you move on to the next room and et cetera, until you get to the front door or the back door and it's just time to go. And what I do sometimes, I let the front and back door, or, you know, whichever doors you had, just to leave them open for like 2 to 3 minutes, just to give them time to just dip out, you know? And then I close the doors and then say another prayer to make sure that it's gone when I smudge. Anyway, I guess I'll call another time and tell you like my experiences. Also, I think my youngest child, I have 2 boys, I think my youngest child can see those, but he gets very scared, so I kind of have to like talk to him in the daytime because he's scared of the dark, and I'm sure that's why. All right. Thank you for listening. If it gets clean, that would be great.
I didn't quite catch the last thing that she said about her child. Did you catch it?
No, not really. I'm not real sure what she said.
Thoughts on the her views on smudging and everything?
I think it makes sense to start at the back and work your way forward. I mean, that's how you clean anything, you know? You work your way towards the front and get it, you know, back to front. And it cleans it out. It forces it out. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why it wouldn't work with spirits.
Lysol smudging spray, the latest one. I was actually looking earlier online. You can buy holy water on Amazon.
Are you going to buy some?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Should we get some?
I don't know that we need it.
We've gotten so many things of like cleaning products to hold on to during the pandemic just so we have them.
I'm going to put some on that fucking ceiling fan in our bedroom. I hate that thing.
There's 3 people who had a spit take during that. And, you're welcome. There is. It was funny because I was looking at it. I was just curious, like, on Amazon, can you buy holy water? It was an earlier caller. There is sales, like 7,000 5-star reviews.
Well, I have a gift card that I just got for Christmas. So there you go.
Merry fucking Christmas.
I'm going to get some holy water.
A little bit of holy water and we're good.
Yep.
It'll save everything.
Yeah.
I have never, it's funny because, you know, this is what we do, but I've never, I think, come in contact with holy water outside of a church.
Okay.
I've done it. My dad was Catholic. I went into, I was raised Lutheran, but my dad was Catholic. So sometimes like every third weekend I go to a Catholic church. And when you walk in, there's a little like, I don't know what the right word is for it, other than it looks like an ashtray. It's not an ashtray. It connects to the wall. It's on each side of the doors as you walk into the Catholic church. There's like a sponge in there, and then there's holy water. And what you do is you touch the holy water, and then you do the sign of the cross.
Okay.
On you, and it's like a blessing. So I can say I have been in contact with holy water, but I've never actually had like a vial of holy water or anything like that in my possession for...
Did it make you burn, and did you have like a reaction because it touched you?
I broke out like crazy. And my dad would sit there. We'd be kneeling and I would be just breaking out and I'd be talking in Latin in reverse.
Sizzle, wouldn't it?
It was weird because I'd be talking in Latin in reverse.
Okay.
And it was the weirdest thing. And then we'd leave the church and my dad would be like, this is weird. Let's go to Hardee's. And we'd get like a sausage and egg biscuit.
And it was all better after that.
After that, it was good.
Okay.
However, if you got the cinnamon roll with the raisins in, it made it worse.
Everything with raisins is worse.
If you're possessed, the last thing you want is a Hardee's raisin biscuit.
Raisins make everything worse.
Yeah, that's the lesson to be learned here. I'm dead serious. No, but
I am too.
I tell you, that church, it's no longer a functioning church anymore. Just one of the most immaculate buildings I've ever been in my life. Those old Catholic churches were amazing, the architecture that they had in them. But also, when they had their once a year church picnic, best pies.
Okay.
You'd walk, because there was, you know, you'd walk in and they had, it was like a complex. It was like one building, but it was like, and this is like kind of the, because I think it was like, there was a school in there once. And I don't think it was a functioning school when I was a kid, but there was like a lunchroom area and they would use it for like church get to, it's like church basement, like Lutherans. And, but during this thing, all the Catholic ladies, German Catholic, is what it was primarily, would make all these pies. And on the church picnic, you'd go there and you could pick out any pie, and there was all pieces, just slices and plates everywhere. Pick any slice you want. And if you want another one, go get another slice of pie. And they were delicious. They were the best pies ever. And then it was just, it's so not what you think of as a church picnic, because when you go out to like the parking lot, they'd have the jump, which was the inflatable inside jump where you roasted yourself to death as a child.
Oh.
Not the castle open air. These were like the let's cook our children
it's
jump
jump. Like a fumigation tent.
Yes, it was a fumigation jump. And the most of the parents would be like, okay, you go in the jump. Daddy's going to the beer garden. And then the parents would go get blasted and the kids would be in the jump roasting themselves away,
Heat
getting
stroke.
Jumped on. Yeah. But you had two pieces of pie beforehand, so you were happy.
Oh, God. So many kids, I'm sure, threw up.
I can only imagine the amount of vomit that they had to clear out of the corners of the jump in 1989. But there you go. Blast from the past, everybody. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.